It's 7:36 in the morning. I'm Antonia Yuhas, and this is Upfront.
And I'm Brian Edwards-Tieger. One of the biggest elections that will actually be decided in voting tomorrow is the race for the district attorney of Alameda County. And the incumbent, Nancy O'Malley, is facing a contested election for the first time in her political career. And that contest occurs in concert with a national push coming in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement to elect prosecutors who would use their discretion to keep low-level offenders out of jails and prisons and to aggressively pursue consequences for police misconduct. And out in the county, that challenge takes the form of civil rights attorney Pamela Price, who is good enough to join us in studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning.
And I should say at the outset, we submitted multiple interview requests to the campaign of your opponent, the incumbent, Nancy O'Malley. The campaign did not respond to us. I'll do my best to represent what she said in debates for you to respond to. We may play a couple clips from those debates in the course of this interview. But let's start with the basics, Pamela Price. Taking on an incumbent prosecutor is not an easy task. You have a successful legal career. Why are you running? What do you want to do differently than how the DA's office is operating now?
I'm running because I'm a drum major for justice, because I have served this community for 27 years as a civil rights attorney, because I've been privileged to represent everyday people, to do wonderful cases on behalf of folks who have been the victims of race discrimination, sexual harassment, sexual assault. This, to me, is just another form of service. It's time for us to reclaim our criminal justice system. Alameda County is viewed as one of the most progressive counties in the country, but we have one of the most regressive criminal justice systems. So we have a chance to do something about it. And when I was asked to run, I could not turn my back on the people of this community. This is a great, wonderful community, and I love it. So I'm doing what I have to do.
So, like, what specifically doesn't work for you about how the DA's office is operating now? What specifically would you change?
It does not work for me or for this community for us to not hold police officers accountable for misconduct. This community is desperate for police accountability. And we have a current system that basically the district attorney is not independent of law enforcement agencies. The district attorney is supposed to be an independent minister of justice, not simply an extension of law enforcement. As a civil rights lawyer, I understand the value of the Constitution and the need to enforce the Constitution in all phases and against, or not in favor of everyone, including people who are accused of crimes. So that's number one, is that I will hold bad cops accountable for bad acts, and I will, in fact, enforce the law fairly and across the board equally. Number two, what is so critical to me is that we have to root out the racial disparities that are just so pervasive in our criminal justice system, that the system has become overrun and completely corrupted by racial bias and racial disparities. And we need a champion who's willing to stand up against that kind of racism, which has infected our system.
Starting on the police misconduct point, Nancy O'Malley's office has brought criminal charges against some police, which is more than many district attorneys. And I think in cases where they haven't, she would probably argue state law makes it prohibitively difficult to bring charges against cops and make them stick. Like, what are the specifics? What are the opportunities you think her office missed?
I think that her office has consistently turned a blind eye to the use of violence by police officers, whether it's everyday racial profiling that we know is well documented through the Stanford study in Oakland, that there's been no official response by her office to that. And her office certainly has not been a leader in trying to address the data that we know exists, where the Stanford study found racial disparities in everything from studying Oakland police body cam, everything in racial disparities from language, body language, actual language, arrest, handcuffing, where you have a a city police department where 193 whites get handcuffed and 2,890 blacks get handcuffed in the same time period, there is something wrong with that. And that's just handcuffing. That's not even being arrested. And so as the district attorney, I cannot presume that every arrest report that comes to me from the police under those circumstances, in fact, warrants a prosecution of someone. We have a police culture that does not de-escalate situations. We have situations where officers are called out to deal with mental health cases, and we're not providing resources for that. So as a district attorney, my job, I see it as part of making our justice system work for everybody, is to be a champion on those issues. I think that regardless of where the state laws fall, that the district attorney still has an obligation to make sure that justice is being fairly meted out in the community in which she serves. And I would point out that often the district attorney has a role and the opportunity to be a voice on state legislation as it impacts the particular community.
I think the Stanford study is an interesting example because it found systematic bias, everything you mentioned, who gets stopped, who gets cited, who gets handcuffed, down to the language that police officers use with the people they pull over. But nothing I saw documented in that report was prosecutable misconduct, as far as I could tell. And wouldn't that be the threshold needed for your office, if you win election, the district attorney's office, to take action?
Well, I'm not, yes. And I'm not saying that the information in the Stanford study creates prosecutable misconduct. It may, because what we know happens in situations where officers are, in fact, racially profiling people or not using de-escalation techniques is that then the situation escalates and it becomes common for people who do get arrested to be charged with resisting arrest, assault on a police officer, disorderly conduct. So that study is almost like the miner's canary. It tells you that there is a problem. When you look beyond that and you look at the number of incidents that Alameda County has experienced, which involve people actually dying in police custody, that's where you start to look to see, do I have prosecutable offenses. And I think even beyond that, it is important for the district attorney to be an independent minister of justice in this community that can say to the police, I am not going to turn a blind eye to misconduct. I'm going to look at what you're doing. And if I think that you have crossed the line and that has resulted in a harm to a resident of this county, and it is in fact prosecutable, that I'm going to be that you may be subject to prosecution. I think that if the police actually think that the DA is not in their pocket, then that will have a significant impact on how they treat people.
When you talk about the DA being in the police pocket, you're speaking specifically about the campaign contributions and support she's received from various law enforcement unions.
Yes, specifically, as well as turning a blind eye and not investigating incidents of misconduct that have resulted in harm to residents. But certainly we know that having police and law enforcement donate, contribute to the election of a district attorney creates all sorts of problems. Not only the appearance of conflict, but certainly in the case of the murder of Elena Mondragon, there is simply no way to sort that out now. And there's so much wrong with this young 16-year-old Latina girl who was shot and killed by the Fremont police officers, that entire scenario is rife with suspicion. That would have been resolved by a fair and independent and transparent investigation. Instead, the officers were cleared fairly quickly, but in the midst of it, we have the district attorney accepting a $10,000 contribution from the Fremont Police Union while one of the officers that's being investigated is the president of the union. That's improper. And certainly, as the district attorney of Alameda County, I have a voice statewide that I can say to the state legislatures, we need to pass legislation in California that district attorneys may not accept contributions from law enforcement agencies.
We're speaking of Pamela Price. She's a civil rights attorney who is mounting a challenge to incumbent Alameda County District Attorney Nancy O'Malley. It is the first challenge O'Malley is facing in her career as district attorney. And at this point, I should probably stop trying to speak for O'Malley, who did not respond to our requests for an interview or participation in debate on the airwaves, but play some quotes from the debates that she has participated in. The first one we have speaks to this question of the DA's role in advancing legislation. Here's Nancy O'Malley.
Ms. Price talks about legislation. I have 49 bills that I have written that have become law. And legislators call me and my office to ask us to work with them on legislation. Because we have credibility, because we are honest, we are forthright, we have ethics, and we also are progressive. And it's a progressive legislature. I have legislation right now with Rob Bonta, with SEIU. We're building legislation, working on legislation to require law enforcement to submit rape kits for testing, to require them to do it. So oftentimes in the legislature, I am standing against law enforcement, but this is a law enforcement job. This county deserves a respected, an experienced, an innovative, progressive DA, which I have been for the for most of my career, if not all, at least certainly when I've been in a position in a power.
So the track record she's talking about, do you think she's misrepresenting it, or do you just think it's not enough?
I think that it's being interpreted in her favor in this moment. I think that there may well be 49 bills, but not all of those bills have been progressive legislation. I know specifically Senate Bill 1322, which was authored and sponsored and carried by Senator Holly Mitchell, who's been an absolute champion of criminal justice reform legislation. Many of those bills have been opposed by the California District Attorneys Association. And the one that particularly caught my eye for Ms. O'Malley was Senate Bill 1322, which was the first legislation to require the decriminalization of minors arrested for prostitution, which obviously is a signature issue in Ms. O'Malley's career. But she stood in opposition to that legislation when it came out in February of 2016. And it was only, and she's on record as opposing at legislation designed to stop us, to stop district attorneys statewide from charging minors as prostitutes. So that was something that was an instance where she was on record not in favor of the legislation, but against it. And then at the end of the passage of the legislation, right before it passed, she flipped and came onto the other side. But that was a long battle, and it was disturbing to have someone in her position in that way.
Why do you think that was? What do you attribute to her opposition and then the flip?
I think that district attorneys have a mindset, and Ms. O'Malley has been in that office for 30 years and came, her father was the district attorney of Contra Costa for 16 years. And so the mindset of criminal justice for the last really 40 years has been to arrest and incarcerate people regardless of the circumstances. So I think that there is almost a knee-jerk reaction within district attorneys that, no, we have to charge people. That has to be the leverage that we use, because we know that overcharging exists. We know that it is used as leverage to get people to take plea deals. And so I think anytime you say, you know, we're going to take out a class of people that we're not going to charge, there's opposition to that. Certainly, I'm aware that she has a record of going to Sacramento and testifying often. She's a leader in the California District Attorneys Association. And so I think that we would need to unpack those 49 bills and see, were they actually being proposed by, so for instance, an organization that we respect and honor in this community, the Ella Baker Center, which has been a champion for progressive causes in Sacramento. And I suspect that if you look at the record of what legislation Ella Baker Center has supported and proposed, you will not find Ms. O'Malley in the long list. You will find her on the opposition side.
Pamela Price, I live in the county. I get the mailers. The principal message against you, at least in my inbox, from both the Independent Expenditures and the O'Malley campaign, is that you won't prosecute criminals. They say you won't prosecute domestic batterers, people who break into cars. Can you clarify? Like, you will have prosecutorial discretion when you're district attorney. What are you going to take to trial? What are you not?
Well, as a trial lawyer, I can tell you I don't know what I'm going to take to trial.
Fair enough. What
not.
What are you going to press charges on?
I will prosecute misdemeanors. You know, the opposition has it's a campaign, and so people say things, they take things out of context. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. I never said I would not prosecute domestic batterers. I had to run for my life when my daughter was 3 months old. So I understand the concern and the danger that victims face. I've also represented victims of domestic violence and sexual assault in this community. I've been standing in the gap for victims, particularly women. So to say that I will not protect women who are subjected to domestic violence or sexual assault or children is ridiculous. I will prosecute domestic violence. I will prosecute misdemeanors as appropriate. I think the concern that law enforcement has is that I'm not going to over-incarcerate people the way we've been doing it for the last 30 years.
Are there categories of misdemeanors, like nonviolent drug offenses, that you unambiguously would not prosecute?
I cannot say that as particular categories. What I can say is that our goal is to reduce mass incarceration. And our goal is to ensure that if someone is suffering from an addiction or has mental health issues, that we will look at those situations and try to make sure that we have the resources to divert those cases. Because to say we're going to divert all these cases and then we have nowhere to divert them to. You know, one of the biggest things I want to do to bring to Alameda County is a program called Neighborhood Courts that is functioning very well in San Francisco, and up to now 25% of their misdemeanor cases are processed through neighborhood courts, which relieves the burden in the criminal justice system. They have a lower recidivism rate. They have a higher community satisfaction rate from people who are actually impacted by crime and have an opportunity to go into this system and hold those who have committed crimes accountable, whether it's an infraction or a misdemeanor. And so we're looking at innovative ways to address people who commit crimes as well as protect public safety. We know that over-incarcerating people, putting people in Santa Rita County Jail without the ability to pay bail and causing them to lose homes or cars or children or jobs does not make us safer. And that's what I've said.
I want to ask a really practical question. When I look at the campaign money, it is clear that the police forces under the jurisdiction of the district attorney, at least the unions representing those police forces, do not want you elected. They're spending their money to defeat you. Same goes for the person who runs the county jails, Sheriff Greg Ahern, given money out of his personal war chest to Nancy O'Malley's campaign. To make most prosecutions stick, district attorney needs pretty close cooperation from the police officers who were involved in an investigation and an arrest. Do you think you can be effective with the prosecutions you will want to pursue if the entire law enforcement establishment is out to get you?
I don't presume that the police unions represent the entire law enforcement establishment.
Fair enough.
I do know that there are some good cops that want to actually protect and serve the public that are looking for ways to do that. That does not involve sending everybody to jail. That there are officers who are committed to the pillars that were enunciated under President Obama's COPS program. The unions have not endorsed that and did not embrace that. So I'm not going to say that we can't move this community forward, that we can't protect public safety because the unions have financed my opponent. After the voters decide what direction they want the criminal justice system system to go in this county. I presume that there are officers who respect the Constitution, who are willing to live by the Constitution. I have had police officers tell me, ask me specifically, are you going to hold bad cops accountable? Because they want them held accountable. They don't want them to be promoted.
Would there be a similar problem potentially presented by the Attorney General's Association? You were saying that your opponent is a key member within that association. Would that create problems for you?
It's the California District Attorneys Association.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Fine. And, you know, we know that when you look at district attorneys across the state, in fact, only two district attorneys who are members of that association supported Proposition 47. George Gascon stands alone in his support of Proposition 57. I don't think the fact that the California District Attorneys Association doesn't like George Gascon has made it harder for him to do his job. He represents and serves the people of the city of San Francisco. Once I'm elected District Attorney of Alameda County, I will represent and serve the people of Alameda County. And I will not be beholden to law enforcement unions or to the California District Attorneys Association. And I might add that my race is part of a national movement. It's also part of a statewide movement to change how we do justice. And so I'm looking forward to going to the California District Attorneys Association with Noah Phillips from Sacramento, with Genevieve Jones-Wright from San Diego, with Dean Johansson from Yolo County, with Patrick Kolanski from Stanislaus County, with Lori Gressett from Riverside County. So we are optimistic that the people's interest will be served, that the people are going to come out and vote on June the 5th, and that we will be bringing a new vision, a prosecutor's new vision of justice, not only to our communities, but to the state.
You have any experience prosecuting?
No.
Why don't you think you need it to do the job?
Well, I have experience prosecuting defendants who have engaged in terrible wrongful conduct. It's not that I don't have experience. I have.
Sorry, you mean defending defendants?
No. I mean, as a civil rights lawyer, I am representing the interests of this community and holding people who have engaged in heinous misconduct accountable. I have sued the California Department of Corrections probably over 100 times. I've represented thousands of victims of sexual harassment, of sexual assault, and I sued major corporations, I've sued the state, I've sued police agencies who have engaged in what could have been charged as criminal conduct in some situations, but it was not. So my ability to present a case, I don't think anyone should really question. I've been a Northern California super lawyer every year since 2003. I've argued before the United States Supreme Court. I've argued numerous times in the Ninth Circuit. I've had a great legal career. I am firmly grounded in the law, and my ability to grasp legal concepts is as good as anybody else's. I started off as a criminal defense lawyer. My first published opinion, and I have many published opinions as a lawyer, my first one is a criminal case. So I'm not intimidated by the fact that I'm going into the criminal arena. My job is not going to be to try cases. I wish it were, but that's not the job of the district attorney. My job is to set policy, is to hold people accountable, is to move the direction of our criminal justice system in the direction that the county, that the people of this county have said it needs to be. We have voted overwhelmingly for criminal justice reform in favor of Prop 47, in favor of Prop 57. We have a criminal justice leader in that office right now that does not support those initiatives. She actively campaigned against Proposition 47. So if we want to have the interests of the people represented in Alameda County in our criminal justice system, we need a lawyer that's willing and able to go into that system and make those changes.
All right. Pamela Price, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming in to speak with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pamela Price is a civil rights attorney. She is running to unseat the incumbent district attorney of Alameda County, Nancy O'Malley. Again, we did put in multiple requests to the reelection campaign of Nancy O'Malley for an appearance on this show, either in a debate or a standalone interview. We did not receive responses to any of them. And one other thing I will mention is that even if you are not currently registered to vote, but you live in Alameda County, this will be the first election that allows for same-day registration. In order to do it in Alameda County, however, you'll have to go down to the County Registrar of Voters' Office tomorrow. You can look them up online. We'll start posting notes on how to do that in our show descriptions at kpfa.org.